Guys, I think we'll get started quite quickly tonight because I can see already we've got over 80 people joined the AMA, and I don't want to keep people waiting like the last time because you're always trying to get people to come in and join. So first and foremost, everyone, welcome again to Serenity Spaces. I think it's been maybe 6 or 7 weeks since we last managed to catch up with the community, and with the amount of things that we have happening in the background at the moment, with the amount of noise that everyone's hearing in the community, we felt only natural it was right to open up the forum to some questions from the community and get the AMA time on spaces here. So I would like to sort of take an opportunity just to do a round of the team, just for anyone that's joining the project as a newcomer. I know there's a lot of familiar faces that know this project very well, but as we're growing, we're seeing the numbers in the community naturally scale up with that as well. So I just wanted to take 2 or 3 minutes maximum in total between Boris and Venkat, our two founders on the team, just to give a brief introduction, who you are, what you do, and then we'll get into the AMA with the questions that have come in from the community.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. I'm Naga Venkat. I'm one of the co-founders, and I also am the CEO of the project. My job here is to create the vision, the roadmap, the philosophy of the project, and lead it in a direction that we are able to still maintain our core principles, but still navigate within the space to give what we are supposed to give in terms of a decentralized data storage solution to ensure privacy, security, and rest all features that we have promised to give back to the community. So that's what my role is, to primarily lay down the vision, roadmap, philosophy, and make sure that we deliver what we promise to deliver. Thank you very much, everybody.
Hi, everyone. I'm Boris Mofrad. I'm the second co-founder of the project. I'm in charge of the product development. I'm connecting the dots in terms of technical team from front end, back end standpoint, direction of the product, futures of the product, partnership. So in essence, as Venkat said, making sure that we deliver a solid, robust product that brings the technology of the storage to the cloud 3.0.
Thanks, guys, for taking a couple of moments there to introduce yourselves. So, well, I put out this week, just at the end of last week, that we were going to be holding an AMA, and also we put out over the weekend that if anyone wanted to get involved in asking a question, we would open the forum. We had literally hundreds of questions, which understandably we had to whittle down and scale down to a manageable number. And even then, I believe we'll probably struggle to get through as many as that I have in front of me on my sheet tonight. However, I'm going to start the AMA with a couple of things, just a couple of house rules. So number one, if we don't manage to get to your question, what we'd suggest is please do come to the Telegram or the Discord. We would be more than happy as a team there to answer those questions. And secondly, for anyone who has registered tonight via the link 3, they are obviously coming trying to win those search tokens and also be one of the holders of the 2,000 that are on the line there. Just to be clear, to ensure you're getting yourself registered properly, you have to maintain your status on here for the AMA for at least 15 minutes into the recording time. So the whole premise is we're trying to invite newcomers to the space and make sure they're here taking in as much of the information as possible. So just so they are aware, if you're leaving before that 15 minutes, you will not be eligible. So I want to get kind of straight into things, guys. We're obviously moving at breakneck pace in the background with everything we've been doing. This Wednesday, we've got a monumental piece of news coming that we are keeping very close to our chest, although there have been several guesses. And many people asking what they can expect. I think the thing that really everyone's pushing on about at the moment and everyone's really eager to know is what's coming in terms of the token itself, and that's the native Serge token. And many people are asking, look, when that comes around, what are the reasons I would want to hold this token? What is it that's going to benefit me? And something that's been asked quite religiously here in the background, Boris and Venkat, is around the Serge token, with one question asking specifically that they're believing in the scalability of the ecosystem and the fact that it will grow very fast, but they're asking what measures we might have in place to address the potential scalability challenges with the actual storage side of things. So the amount of data that we're going to have on the blockchain as we grow, what strategies and what tactics do Strongbox and Serenity Shield have in place to collaborate with other projects or industries to enhance the overall ecosystem and to ensure that we're managing those scalability challenges?
Venkat, you want to start?
No, I think you could start and I will add it up.
Okay. So there was several questions in one question. First of all, about the token itself. You see, we have to approach this from a very, I would say, simplistic point of view. When in the years 2000, companies, big companies, emerged to position themselves as technology leaders, one thing they've done, they monetized their data. They acquired clients. That client base became a database, and they monetized the data. The fundamental difference within the Web3 space is that we are tokenizing a technology. How we do that? Well, basically, when in the Web2 space, you pay for any services you do in fiat, or you use any future within a product or a service in fiat, within the Web3 world, when you have a technology that is based on the blockchain, well, you tokenize that technology so the users can benefit of various futures by paying the services in the native token. So for instance, when you subscribe to the services of the Strongbox that allows you to have an inheritance protocol, a storage capacity, and when I say storage capacity, you can upload, download any form of digital data, PDF, document, Excel, pictures, videos. We know if we look at our mobiles today, over 50-60% of the storage is taken by media, right? Videos and photos. And we never know where to find those pictures or video we're looking for, because they're somewhere in our mobile storage. And if we lose our mobile, if we haven't filed those, stored those file into the cloud, they're lost. So in order to activate those services, you will pay in search token, right? That's for the first question. The second question, actually, Nikos, what was the second extended question within the same question? There was the token and?
Yeah, I think the main part of this question is really to do with the Strongbox itself and actually handling the potential scalability challenges.
Yeah, scalability. Yes, scalability. So when it comes to scalability, of course, we are at the very beginning of the journey when it comes to blockchain technology, right? So I don't know if many of you knows IPFS storage, which allows on the blockchain to store blocks of 10 megabytes. And when you put those consolidated blocks together, it becomes a storage space which is very small. What we've achieved in Serenity Shield, we are basically offering much larger blocks for storage, 10 gigabyte, 20 gigabyte blocks. So the scalability allows you, if you put those blocks together, to very quick reach 100 gigabyte up to 1 terabyte and even a 1 petabyte, which is 1000 terabyte. How we do that? With a distributed system. So that means the storage, the data is not with us, is under the user sole sovereignty and self-custody, distributed on the blockchain within different storage infrastructure, but also through personal computers and various nodes that we offer within our technology for people to be able to store large amount of data. In a nutshell, this is what we do.
Okay, so Boris. So let me add a few points here, so that I hope the community can understand both aspects of what was asked and both aspects of what Boris touched. First, let me come to the point of the scalability of the storage. Is there are two aspects to it. One is the scalability in terms of the storage space itself, which is what I believe. Boris just explained is the scalability, the technical scalability of the storage space, which is what he mentioned, that under a non-IPFS storage, we sort of collect the storage spaces from decentralized nodes, which could be personal computers, which could be anything of that sort, which eventually could be even mobile devices in the future. And that's the most interesting thing that we are talking about in terms of one of the major use cases of blockchain within the telecom industry, so to say. So that's how we create the technical scalability of the storage space. Now, in terms of the use case and the adoption, as a with a business outlook, for me, that is more important also to explain not just the technical feasibility of the scalability, but also the scalability in terms of the adoption. I think that's a challenge which we sort of generally see in this space today, is that people are, I'm not sure if I'm right to say this, but still let me put it as a point of a discussion. I'm not sure if the people within the space are still seeing the enormous amount of scalability scope of storage, digital data storage per se. You see, this is because this space is still sort of evolving, as Boris said. It is evolving, dynamic. So probably there is not that many people who are seeing the scope of the scalability and the growth of the digital data storage as we do, because we see it not only from a point of view of Web3, but we also see it from a point of Web2, digital data storage, which will come into blockchain in the near future and then give that massive boost for digital data storage, which is not only going to come from the Web3 projects and Web3 companies, which is also going to come from the balanced 96% of the Web2 companies. So there's going to be a huge amount of scalability in terms of the use case and adoption of digital data storage per se, which is what we will offer in terms of the amount of storage space that we'll be able to give under the non-IPFS, under the blockchain, which will be again completely decentralized under the user's control. So that is in terms of the scalability of the use case and the adoption that we are offering in terms of the digital data storage, not only from a Web3, but also from a Web2 point of view. So that's one thing. The second thing is coming back to the tokens, right? Of course, if I were a token holder, it's a very general, very valid question that people will ask. Okay, these guys are doing some storage business. We know about it. But we don't know what is the real scope of this business, how much it is going to scale up, how much it is going to grow, and on what basis is this token price is really going to grow. So I have to look at it from a point of view of a Web3 investor, because today, still, the token investor is coming from the Web3 domain. So obviously, the Web3 domain token investor might think, as I said, storage business scaling up, we don't know how will the token prices going up. So I already answered the question with regard to the scalability of the business of the storage. It's huge. Please don't look at it only from a Web3 point of view. Look at it also from a Web2 point of view. Coming back to the token price, I think we did explain it in our last AMA in terms of the deflationary token model that we have. The more the number of users that we are going to get onboarded, they will buy more number of surge tokens from the market. So the demand will go up, supply is limited, and it is the same, which is going to make the surge token prices to go up in the market. And then we will use those tokens to distribute it back to our community in terms of the revenue sharing models and the community, whatever learn to earn and store to earn community programs that we are going to launch, apart from the staking program, also which we'll be launching before the TGE. So the community is going to be rewarded with these tokens. The more the users, more demand, less supply, token prices keep going up, more people will be incentivized to buy the tokens and use strong boxes. So it's a self-sustaining, recurring, deflationary token model, which is why the token holders will definitely be benefit in the next 1 or 2 years when we are going to reach those magical numbers of 50x and 100x, not because of any sort of, speculatory model. It will be a sustained model based upon the deflationary tokenomics that we have created with an underlying business, which will have a huge scalability with the Web2 guys coming in. So, Nikos, that's what I wanted to say. Maybe we can move to the next question.
Yeah, I think you've both covered a lot of ground there. And to be fair, like a lot, what happens a lot of the time with these questions is that we tend to cover secondary and tertiary questions in the background. And I think that's what's happened here. I mean, one of the things for you guys to know in the background that's coming back from the community quite often is asking around what are the actual additional benefits token holders would have. And I think, in fairness there, when you're talking about the various models and systems that we're putting in place, you know, there are plans there for store to earn, learn to earn, where there will be access given to people holding tokens. But I think more traditionally, the revenue share model that will come out of growth, you know, there will be a revenue consequence to holding, or there will be a revenue consequence, I should say, for a project and a product to exist. But being a holder, you're effectively turning your share of Serge into a potential way to receive a dividend and return it each kind of quarter or biannually or whatever. And these are things that will be ironed out as the project grows. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. But look, moving on, something a little bit different that we've spoken about internally as a team, but I think we haven't really fully elaborated on it with the community and our longer term plans. And I'm not looking here for a perfect answer, because I know that we are a very high level view looking at some of these things. But there's a question here that's come in and asking specifically about the Strongbox DApp and how it could utilize artificial intelligence to basically enhance what it's offering at the moment. I know, Boris, this is something that we talk about internally. And obviously, artificial intelligence right now globally is the buzzword. It's been the buzzword for some time now, and I think it will continue for some time yet. So with that in mind, given what we have in terms of securing vaults and efficient storage and transfer of data, is there anything that we can sort of talk about in terms of where we intend to go with the technology? And I don't think we have to just keep on artificial intelligence, but potentially some of the higher level sort of ideas and ambitions that we have on our project that might get the community a bit excited about what we've got coming.
Sure. Well, obviously there will be, first of all, the 2024 roadmap, which will be released very soon. That 2024 roadmap, of course, you have to go with the reality and how technology evolves. You need to be adaptable, right? We're not living in a world of our own. When we understand that the emergence of AI and 5G in telecommunication will increase tremendously the need for storage, and we're talking of a quadrillion gigabyte need. That's a $1 trillion plus business, right? So, of course, if we narrow down to the Strongbox product, there will be a requirement for the Strongbox to implement an AI-generated technology, basically, which decide based on parameters defined on-chain where and to which node and under which circumstances to send the data and store the data. So that would not be basically provided through a coding or an API sort of standpoint, but purely AI generated. Beyond that, we will also go into biometrics, digital ID, which allows the users to have full control over the data based on new ways of protecting their access to their DApp. So those are all the things that we are actually working on. And some partnership will be announced throughout 2024 in that.
Yeah, I think one point which I wanted to add here is that, you know, when Boris mentioned about the AI getting used to choose the decentralized node which is going to receive the data, of course, that's the modality of it, of the technology. But what's the net result is that will enhance the security factor, right? Because that is going to really boost up the security factor. So that's something which I wanted to add. And also one more feature that we are seriously looking to implement within our current ecosystem is a private messaging system also. Because when you're talking so much about privacy in terms of storage, et cetera, and when people are going to talk about it, that messaging system also has to be private. So from that point of view, we are also looking to add a private messaging system within our overall infrastructure. So that would be a part and parcel of the solution offering. So that's what I wanted to add.
Excellent, guys. Yes. You want to comment?
Yes, quickly. The private messaging will be, of course, decentralized, which means it won't be archived into anyone's personal computer, which is important because end-to-end encryption does exist everywhere, Telegram, WhatsApp, but decentralized version of it does not.
So, look, let's turn our attention somewhere, a slightly different direction for a second. There's a lot of noise happening this week. The last week we've saw announcement after announcement, post after post. Media is really, really booming at the moment. We're very excited about what we're seeing in terms of the traffic growth, and that's, to be fair, testament to a lot of our partners as well and everyone sort of supporting the project. But the one thing that's been a big catalyst for this, and it would be a shame to forget that this has been a big change and something we saw in the last 2 weeks, Boris and Venkat, and people are asking about this. You know, we've made a lot of announcements about the various launch pads that we've come on board with, and there's a lot of questions, as you can imagine, about our strategy with launch pads, our planning in terms of what we're doing with the token launch, but very specifically relating to the IDO at the moment. There's a lot of questions coming in asking about what we anticipate the IDO looking like in terms of the dates, the launch time, and what are we looking to try and achieve from this in terms of community growth, obviously fundraising. And last part to that question as well is what can anyone coming through these IDOs expect in terms of pricing and investing of the tokens?
Venkat?
So again, Nikos, this has too many questions, so it's a bit difficult to keep track. So in terms of the IDO, so can you please tell me what's the first question? Let's break it into questions, right? Otherwise, there are two. So what's the first question?
Yeah, I mean, it's a general, we're looking general here. There's a number of questions, you can imagine. I'm trying to put these into one because there's so many, as I said at the top of the call, over 200 questions we've had. So generally around the IDO, I think community are trying to get a feel for what they can expect from the IDO, when it might go live, and what they can anticipate in terms of the price that they were going in with the various launch pads.
No, I think the price that we are doing with the various launch pads is announced along with the IDO announcement itself, which is $0.20 per token. So that's the price which has been announced. So overall, if you look at it as an IDO strategy, is in terms of, you see, we have a certain limitation to create the community on our own. There is a limit to it. So that's why we are depending, and that's why if you see, look at the lineup of our launch pads, we have been very selective, we have been very discreet, and we really took a lot of time to decide on the launch pads because of the kind of criteria that we had and the launch pads had to be able to select us and for us to be able to eligible. So from that point of view, it had been a long drawn process, but finally we are there. So right now we have chosen the launch pads and all the announcements have been done, I believe. And the token price is going to be 20 cents. And what is the overall strategy for us as a project? And what is going to be for the token buyer or a token investor? I'll try to explain both in very simple terms. For us, yes, definitely there is an element of fundraising. So that is true. But more than fundraising, as I said, we wanted to attract the community, individual communities of these launch pads to come and be a part of our token holding system before the listing or the TGE that we have. So that is our primary objective. Because, you know, before the list, because at the end of the day, why we are doing all this, you know, our 2 years of hard work, as Boris mentioned, it is a tokenized method of monetizing the technology using a tokenomics model, right? So if we are so serious about using our technology being tokenized to have a monetization value, we have to be extremely careful about our IDO strategy and also about our listing strategy. So that's why it's taking a bit of a time, because right now we are in the process of deciding the right six exchanges to list with, the amount. We are looking at every parameter which is going to protect the token investor. It is going to protect the pricing. For example, opening market cap. I'm not sure how many projects today are seriously looking at the opening market cap, because we are meticulously looking at the opening market cap to make sure that the buy pressure and the sell pressure will be quite balanced so that the investors are not going to suffer because of a wrong investment or a hasty investment. So honestly speaking, I'm driving this whole thing in terms of the opening market cap, the listing strategy, the exchange strategy, the IDO strategy. I'm doing this not as somebody from Serenity Shield only. I'm doing it from the point of view of our community and our token investors, because only if they benefit, if they are happy, we will be happy in the long run. So I just wanted to convey this to the community here, that we are looking at every minute detail in terms of the token circulation, the opening market cap, the exchanges that we are working with, because we really want to make sure that the exchanges that we are working with inadvertently cannot even go and dump the tokens, right? And that's why we are selecting the exchanges. We are selecting the launch pads. We are limiting our opening market cap. We are limiting our initial circulation. And we are also planning to see what are all the things that we are going to launch so that the token price is maintained in the first week, second week, and the weeks after. For example, we are going to announce this aggressive staking program just before the TGE. So we are very confident that the token community will be excited by the staking opportunity and they will stake the tokens. And let's not forget, once the product is going to be launched in the market, all these subscribers will start buying the tokens from the market. So we are not only looking at the token investors, we are also looking at the product users who will have to come to the open market to buy the tokens to pay for our subscription fees. So that is also going to create a natural demand. So from a point of view of a product usage and from a point of view of a token investor, and announcing all these revenue share models, programs, and the staking programs, and the selection of exchanges, selection of launch pads, opening market cap, we are not leaving any single detail. And I'm personally making sure, like for me, more than the project, the token investors community interest for me always comes first. So I put that first before even I put my agenda of fundraising. So we will fundraise, but not at the cost of the monies of our token investors. And that is the philosophy, and we will always have this philosophy. We want our token investors to be assured of their money, and in that process, we will make our money, not put our agenda first at their benefit or at their cost. Hope I'm clear, Nikos.
I think you were more than clear, and it's refreshing to hear in the space. You know, if I was taking off my hat as a Serenity Shield team member for a second and I was hearing that on the other side, I would personally be very happy. You know, we've all been in this game for quite a considerable time, and I think we've been trying for over 2 years now, no, going on 2 years now, as a team, to articulate to our community just how passionate we are to actually bring a product to the space and change the way things are happening around about us. And I can sort of testify there to everything you're saying. I know the hours that you personally put in and on this particular one element, along with everything else you're doing, and it's not easy, but it's more than that. You know, the product that we're offering, there's a synergy here. The product that we are building as a team is at its core all about self-custody. And that's what we're doing with our own project. From day dot, we've set out to ensure we have sovereignty over decision making, and that has resulted in a significant amount of diligence, time on the chair, and time in front of a screen. But it's also resulted in a little bit of a delay, and we can't deny that. You know, we've been very, very diligent, and when you say things there at the end, and I know you on a personal level are feeling that way. You know, we're putting the community genuinely as much as possible to the forefront of the decision-making process, while trying to ensure we're pushing forward a business and a commercial product. So it's an exciting time. It's one that's really, I think, when you look at the general market and the way things have been going, we definitely have seen a bit more of a positive sentiment. I wouldn't say for anyone just coming in that, you know, it's like, let's go now, we're ready and that everything's good again. We're treading cautiously as a project. We're aware that things are changing in the market, but we know that things doesn't need to last forever. But we need to see some sustainability in the space. And we've saw black swan events hit the market before. So everything we're doing now is geared towards having a robust planning going into 2024. And a lot of that roadmap now is key in shaping the future about where we want to take this. So one of the things, actually, I'm just looking through some of the questions here, and I'm going to try and go through some of the smaller ones and just tick these off as we go. But something that kind of surprised me to hear, there was two or three people talking about wishing to learn more about the project. They're having more problems with English, and unfortunately they're not able to reach the material. As a team in the background, I know, Boris, this is something that you've been pushing us all for some time now to make sure we're working towards our international strategy. And as such, I was kind of delighted to announce over the last, I think, 2 months that we've been gradually rolling out our international programme. And we now have a fully translated white paper and website in French, Spanish, I think Portuguese, Russian, and there's Turkish coming very, very soon. We'll also have Vietnamese, but one thing that we talk about to the community often is our commitment to global accessibility. And that's a big part of our strategy, as we've been touching upon the whole way through this call. You know, the market for data is absolutely gigantic. I think it was Boris was saying, I don't think people have understood just the general scale that exists, or it might even have been Venkat actually, the general scale of the potential of that market. And we would be, I think we'd be a bit careless as a team if we didn't include in our strategy international. So rest assured that will continue to roll out. And I would implore anyone that does come from sort of other native speaking languages to always make sure you're sharing that with your friends in those regions, because when the time comes, we will rely on others as well, sort of helping us spread the word. And that sort of sense of community that we're building in the project now is all, you know, for the long-term viability of what we're trying to achieve. So that's where we are in terms of the international at the moment. I think coming back, bringing it back more to this period in time as well, There's a lot of people. One of the funny questions I've seen coming in tonight is, what are we getting told on Wednesday? Well, if it was that easy, we would just announce it the first time over. But can we scratch the surface at all, Boris, and maybe talk about? I think rather than tell them what we've got coming, look at where we came from.
No, what I can say in the back of what you've been just saying, and Venkat. You see, if you look at from a business standpoint and a technology standpoint, everything today, everything we do has a storage element. Absolutely everything. Whether you're a gamer, you are a banker, you are watching films, you are any professional activity involves storage. Storage is unavoidable and it's part of our daily life. We just don't realize it because it's on a click and play or click and go sort of action. You have storage on your mobile, you take pictures, it goes onto a storage. But the problem from a Web2 standpoint is that, yes, it goes into a storage, it goes into a cloud, that picture, you don't have control over it because it goes to a central authority. And when your storage grows, then you have to pay extra money for that storage. But absolutely everything is about storage. We've been from the beginning a product first company, right? And as a product first company, we're building a real infrastructure technology with or on the blockchain, right? So this is our approach, this is our philosophy, and as such, people should understand what are our priorities, right? So that's it. I mean, for me, when you analyze with depths the level and the scale of the storage in the world, this is the biggest business. And to be a main actor within the next industrial revolution, which is a tech revolution, which is the blockchain technology, that's a, you know, very exciting challenge.
No, I think what I wanted to say here, again, I always take the side of the community because we should speak their language, is that I think the people understand the scope of storage, but they have not still fully understand the need to store in a decentralized format. You see, this is the difference from where it is coming from of how we look at it and how they look at it. Because everybody understands storage, but they still don't understand the importance of storage in a decentralized blockchain technology format. I think that realization has not happened fully yet. But having said that, when the whole world is going digital, when the digital currencies are going to become a part and parcel of the day-to-day life, and everything you do is going to be based upon a digital ecosystem, I think at that point of time, the real sort of, I don't know what's the right word to use, the tejavu would happen at that particular point of time where people will suddenly realize, oh my gosh, what I was storing until today was crap. Maybe not crap, but I have a much better solution, which I'm already using for something else because I'm being forced to use because of the digital currencies and everything else of what is going to happen around them. And at that particular point of time, there will be really a kind of a deja vu moment of storage. And people like Sanity Shield will really be the front runner. So the people who might not really understand the scope of what we are doing today, at that deja vu moment, we will really become a darling of the whole storage space, storage universe, which I'm not sure how many people can see it today. But if everybody can see everything, then everybody will become billionaires and whatever, right? So what I'm just trying to say, at that deja vu moment, we will be on the front line when that real transition will happen, that everybody will strive to store in a decentralized format on blockchain, which I believe has not happened yet because it's more of a mindset thing, right? Finally, for businesses and also for personal users, they are thinking, I'm storing somewhere, so far so good, everything is working fine, why would I bother, right? So, of course, they are seeing everywhere things getting hacked. This is happening. Security breaches are happening. Data is compromised, but it has really not gone to the fullest extent of striking them hard. When it strikes them hard from one angle, and then they realize that more and more digital environment is being imposed upon them, wantedly or unwantedly, that would be the deja vu moment of storage, decentralized storage on blockchain. That is when we will be really the darling. And that moment is not very far away. Nikos?
Incredible, Venkat and Boris. There, it's all about the vision, isn't it? I think when you take it back to where we first came from and where we started, we've never really swayed from our overall vision, which is to empower users. Whether, you know, I remember when we first came, it was all about solving the seed phrase problem. And then we realized, what is a seed phrase? It's a binary code. Let's protect more data than just a phrase. And then we realized we've actually built a full data storage system, which we then evolved over time. It was a very, very quick look back at the evolution of Serenity Shield, but it hasn't steered from that overall global vision. And that's where one area people can see that we're doing things differently is we are taking our time. And I know that sometimes in this space, it can be very difficult. People are impatient and often rightly so as well. You know, I said earlier on, I've been on the other side. I know you guys have been on the other side, especially Boris. You've been investing in for a long, long time in this space. So we understand where people are coming from, but I just like to say on those points, like if you're on the other side and you're on the team side, believe me, there's a lot that we have to do to navigate. And it all comes back to the very things we're trying to build Serenity Shield for, to help others avoid. And it's user empowerment. And that's what we're doing for our own project. We're empowering our team and empowering our community to not fall into those pitfalls and traps that we've seen so many other projects fall into before. And that doesn't mean tomorrow things are going to come out the trap and fly and be immediately successful. But it does mean that we're giving ourselves the best possible fighting chance, and we are positioning ourselves for what we believe is going to be a monumental shift in the way the digital framework will exist in the future. So back to questions from the community. And again, just for people to realise, we don't want to read out people's names and expose the kind of person behind some of these questions, but we have got a note in the background. We will be selecting one of these questions at the very end as well, and handing out $75 at the end of this for the best question asked. But the next question I've got, really just in relation to what we've been talking about, is moving forward then, we're getting in towards December. What are the most important and immediate goals for Serenity Shield and Serge leaving 2023, Venkat, particularly into 2024?
Yeah, of course. The immediate goal for December, of course, as we all know, the mainnet is going to be live. The immediate goal for December is what we are really striving to do is to achieve a reasonable, decent, and well-balanced listing in some of the centralized exchanges. That is what we are really trying to achieve. Of course, that will be preceded by the so-called launchpad IDOs. But having said that, we have our parameters, the exchanges have the parameters, and we are trying to make the right balance without compromising the things which I talked about in terms of the quality, the opening market cap, the token circulation. Because again, just because of we want to do a fundraising, we do not want to put our token investors' money at risk. So in terms of December, I think the SEX listing is quite important, is quite critical. Obviously, the IDO will be happening 1 week, 5 to 7 days before the SEX listing. This will be our strategy in terms of the IDO and the SEX listing, which are all supposed to happen in December, if not in December, not because of other things, it's because of the seasonality and because of the criteria that we are trying to follow, then we will have to look at the next immediate option. But we are really trying to get it happen in December. And once the token is listed, then there'll be nothing which will be stopping us to take our product to the market, because we will have a search token which will have a monetary value. Then we will really and very quickly and firmly move into the business development phase of our product with the proper marketing efforts, communication strategy, go-to-market strategy, etc. Because once we have the token listed, then we will full swing go into product business development phase, getting partners, mass adoption, use case, different industries. So we will become a completely product business development phased project with a go-to-market strategy and seeking partners, etc. So these are the two main things, in my opinion. If I would have missed it, probably Nikos or Boris, you can mention. But according to me, to summarize, a token listing strategy, sort of before 5 to 7 days before that, the IDO launch pad's happening, and the product launch in the market, GTM, marketing, communications, getting partners onboarded, and getting users onboarded. So the real business space will start from that point. This is what I can see. If I've missed up anything, you guys can mention.
No, that's you covered it all. And I think it's important to say that a lot of discussions are ongoing in the background with very large institutional partners. To a certain extent, we have been talking with few governments. So there are things that are moving forward. Of course, we cannot disclose or reveal those information until they become official, but there is a lot of things actually happening in the background, in the back of after the product launch.
You see, what that all comes down to, what's been covered here, I can't recall personally many projects that came to the market and as soon as their token went live, their product was there. They actually had something viable in their hands and tangible that they could then go into the market and sell or use as a way of generating funds and building revenue in the project. And that for me is what makes Serenity Shield a great option at this particular moment in time. You know, things might have seemed like they're taking a bit longer in one regard, but what I think people need to always bring it back to and remember, a lot of the time when projects are going through these token fundraisers, they're doing so to get the funding together and the finances together to then bankroll their idea or their concept, which then often, as we've all known in this space, doesn't last long enough, and they then have to do it all over again. So it's essentially a crowdfunding exercise. And when you think to yourself, well, what would we rather here have, or would we rather have the chicken or the egg? You know, and to me, we've got the chicken that's going to provide us with those eggs moving forward. So that's where we are, and very, very exciting time. And we're coming into 2024, the start of the year, one way or the other. As Venkat was saying, whether it's December or earlier next year, we're going to be ready to go and be sure that the whole philosophy will completely shift into a business phase where it's actually then going to be all about onboarding users to the product at both B2B and B2C levels. So I'm very excited about that personally. I'm looking at the clock here. It's 50 minutes into the AMA. I don't want to take up too much more time, and I do want to give the community some time also to come up, just in case there's anyone that's listening wants to ask us a question while we're live. I think we'll finish with one of the questions here, which is a little bit more about the community themselves. And people are asking, what can they, as the community, do at this point in time to help the project grow and become stronger as we get ready for launch?
Nikos, you should answer this question first.
You want me to answer that?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, from my point of view, yeah, that makes sense. Being the marketing guy on the team, I'm very, very passionate about community in the first place, but I'm particularly passionate about building community for this project. And the one thing that we can ask people to do is to continue to believe in what we're doing and educate themselves is another part of it. I think education is key in all aspects of life. And if you're going to get involved in something, know why you're getting involved. I've said to people before in this community, this isn't your typical crypto project, because we don't see ourselves as a crypto project. We're a blockchain technology product first, as Boris said earlier on, and we have a tokenized element. It's giving you an option and an opportunity to get involved in something fresh and different in the space. And I think and I hope that with time, we've proven that we are dedicated to quality. And for me, if you're a community person and you want to get involved and help us grow, that is the one thing I would say. Make sure you're educating yourself on what Serenity Shield is and why we exist. And to do that, you can find in the white paper our value proposition, and also the section that tells us why we've done what we've done in the first place. When you do that, and why am I bringing it to education? when you educate yourself, you will soon decide whether you're for this project, passionate about this project. And if you are, at that point, you can do so much more for this community. Because like myself, when I met Boris, and we've had this conversation with Venkat, when we shared the overall philosophy of actually user empowerment through blockchain technology, that was enough for me to change my path in life and actually try and change the trajectory of society in one small way. Because we're only one small project in the grand scheme of things, but when we collaborate and innovate with others around about us, we actually do make monumental changes, and that's what we're fundamentally doing. So if you want to get involved, I'm not going to tell you all the usual stuff that you hear on social media platforms and everything. It's actually that one thing I want you to take away. I don't know if you guys can elaborate on that, if there's anything else you think.
Not elaborate, but I would want to sum it up in a different way, you see, because
Absolutely.
What my humble request to the community is that, you know, guys, I can assure you that, you know, my colleagues will endorse this. Whenever I'm speaking, I'm always, sometimes people believe, why is he talking so much on behalf of the community and the token holders, you know, because I always put the interest of the token holders, of a community, of a sort of community stakeholders interest first. That's what I do. So like we look at always at your point of view, please look at our point of view also and try to understand our position from time to time. And my humble request is please believe in what we say. It might be not everything of what we say, it is not that easy to believe, because I always tell this to the team, it all depends on from what height you look at it. If you look at it from 1,000 feet or 100 feet at 10 feet, maybe I'm looking at it from 1,000 feet and somebody else is looking at it from 100 feet and somebody else is looking at it from 10 feet. But please believe in what we say, because we are really doing a lot of stuff to make sure that what we are saying is going to be correct. So have a trust on us, believe in what we say, and sometimes try to see a situation based upon our point of view as well, like we as much look at it from your point of view.
Well, fantastic, Venkat. I think that's a great way to sort of summarize and cap off what we've been talking about this evening. So there has been a number of hands that have been raised throughout the AMA. So I'm going to give the platform a chance here. Anyone from the community that does want to come up, we'll have a few minutes. Do you want to?
Sure, definitely.
First, Boris, before we do that?
No. Let the community come forward and ask their questions. They're more than welcome.
Okay, so I have got a hand raised at the moment from Noor.eth. So I'm going to approve you to speak. If you do have a question, let me know. But your hand has been up for some time, so I'm assuming you've got a question for the panel. Okay, you're now free to unmute your mic and ask either Boris, Venkat or myself your question. No? Okay, so...
There is Sophie raising his hand, Junior... Raising his hands.
They have to request to speak. Noor, you've got your hand up here on the panel. If you want to speak, you can unmute your microphone. If not, I'll just take you back there.
Noor, you can speak. Unmute your microphone.
Hello, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. So my question is, can you hear me? Hello, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. My question is, what step does Sanity take to prevent market manipulation and ensure fair trading for all users on the platform?
So it was quite difficult to hear, but I think you were asking in regards to the token and what we're doing to negate or mitigate against market manipulation. Is that correct? Can you confirm if that is the question?
Yeah.
Okay, Venkat, do you want to maybe talk about this in terms of how we plan ahead with our partners and maybe the market making side of things could be interesting, what we've got in place there?
Yeah, I think I have sort of talked about it in a little bit of a detailed manner already. So we are taking all measures to make sure that the market manipulation cannot be stopped completely, but it will be minimized to a total extent, because that is being happening in terms of so many ways, in terms of, how can I say, first, the selection of the market maker itself, because that itself defines how serious about you are as a project, because our market maker is one of the finest in the space today. They are very, very stable, very reliable. So the kind of people that we are working with in terms of the market making, and also the kind of exchanges that we are working with, and most importantly, this is something which I want to point out, which I keep pointing out. You see, from you look at it from outside, everything looks the same, right? But we are different. Why? Not because of we are doing something, but the way we do it, right? This is because that, because, for example, the kind of agreements that I'm negotiating with the exchanges is a very, very different agreement that anybody else would negotiate in this space, because we are putting so many parameters as self-controlling. So, hello?
Hi, Venkat. We just heard you say self-controlling and then dropped off for a second.
Yeah. So, what? Yeah, okay. Because I got muted. Yeah. So, what I was saying is that the way we do it in terms of making the agreements, in making the terms and conditions with the exchanges, with our partners and everybody, we will make sure that there is no dump and run system from any of the parties that we might be potentially dealing with. And we are taking all measures to do that, starting from the point of choosing the market maker, choosing the exchanges we work with, and the kind of control mechanisms that we have, the checks and balances that we are incorporating. So we are looking at quite a variety of parameters to make sure that there can be, well, I wouldn't say that there is 0% of market manipulation, but to what I can see, that's why it's actually taking time. You see, because otherwise we could have listed 2 months ago, or even rather 3 months ago. Why it is taking so much of time? Because we want to make sure that we are not giving our hard work and our token holders' interest in hands of market manipulators and whatever manipulation which can happen. So that's what I can say. But yeah,
if I can add quickly, so that will be very clear. As a clear example, whoever in terms of partnership ask us on unlocked and unvested tokens, we're not going with it. So to make it simple, no one is walking around into the market by sitting on a chunk of unvested token. Everyone follows the same rule. They're vested, they're cliffed, they're locked, and they will have to go by the rules. We're not distributing unlocked tokens.
And then also, we are making sure that our opening market cap is at the most 1% or less than 1% of our total listing FDV, which is normally, I'm not sure how many projects are sticking to this. If your maximum sell pressure and the opening market cap is going to be less than 1%, that's a very great thing to be able to maintain and accomplish. So with that, we know how many maximum tokens at the worst scenario it can come to the market upon TGE, and we will create enough buy pressure to maintain that kind of an opening market cap and the maximum circulation that would come. So in all probability, we will try to make sure that we are not giving away our tokens or our token prices to the market manipulators. And we are trying to make sure as much as possible, as much as humanly possible, to do it.
Thank you, Venkat.
Thanks, Venkat. There's a number of hands going up. I'm not sure if it's serious requests or not, but
let's try with one of those guys, juniors.
I've invited Skywalker or Sophie. If you want to get, if you guys want to try and come up and speak, I've invited you both up.
Hello, guys. Can
Sophie?
You?
Yeah, who's that? Sorry,
Sophie. He left probably. Junior.
Yeah, they're not. The problem is you guys will have to. You're going to have to actually request to speak. So let me invite you to speak.
Junior?
I've sent the invite, but they've not accepted.
There is another one, Skywall.
I've invited Skywalker also. They're just raising their hand. So I'm not sure if they want to ask. Hey, guys.
So I just...
Hi, Skywalker.
Cool, bro. I just wanted to know what's up for the remainder of the quarter and... do you have an ambassadors program? How can I try to like promote your products in the African region? Do you have any way for us to be more actively involved.
Excellent. Nice to hear from you. First of all, it's good timing. So, which part of Africa are you from, Skywalker?
I'm from the infamous Nigeria.
Well, that's interesting, as Boris is probably laughing in the background, because we were saying last week that one of the regions that we want to go into is Nigeria. So to answer your question at a more global level, first of all, we do have the ambassadors program called the Serenity Sentinels, which is your traditional sort of Zili campaign platform, which is led by a couple of our community moderators. But yes, we also do have plans to expand, as I said earlier on in the call, into some other regions. And Nigeria, believe it or not, is one that's very close to Dan on our team's heart. He's also mentioned to me personally that we really need to look at that region, because there's such a growing market for the sector that we're in. So I would say to you probably very soon, within the next couple of months, that I would be looking to actually is trying to establish a community management team, ambassador team for the Nigeria region particularly, but also for other African nations and emerging countries in that area that are starting to become more synonymous with Web3 and crypto. But in the meantime, please feel free to join the Telegram, Twitter, all those places, and you can learn where you can become one of the Serenity Sentinels and participate in the sort of monthly opportunities to earn some search for your hard work. And thank you for your question.
Thank you too, bro.
No problem. I'm going to invite Alex up. Alex, you have now been approved to speak, so you can unmute yourself and you can ask a question, mate. Hey, Alex.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Alex.
Okay, thank you so much for giving me opportunity. So how does Serenity stake system work, and what is the requirement for user if they want to stake in your platform? Do we have a token burning plan to increase token value and attract user investor to invest?
Thanks for your question, Alex. Boris, I'll hand this one to you, please.
Yes. Well, since the staking program, has not officially been announced, I can confirm to you there will be a staking program. All the details will be announced post-listing. Obviously, it will be a limited pool. The pre-sales 1 and 2 round would be whitelisted, and the remaining will go to the community that have participated in IDO and hold the search token. More details will be revealed post-listing. That's all I can say, but there is a staking program. Nikos, Sophie is back. Please let's hear him out, because he's been from the beginning raising his hands. Maybe you can give him a chance to speak.
Yeah, Sophie, you're clear to speak, so please feel free to ask your question.
Hello, everyone. Am I audible enough?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for inviting me up to ask my question. My question
is
about storage. And how does upcoming launch fit into a larger strategy for continuous improvement and adaptation to evolving technological landscapes? And are there plans for regular updates?
Yeah, Sophie, unfortunately, you're dropping off. I think you're rugged. We can't hear you.
The question seemed very interesting, but you got cut off. We couldn't hear the full question. I heard about ledgers and unfortunately the question was not completed, so I couldn't really understand.
What we can, Sophie, if you can hear me, what we can do, if you can actually send a DM to the official Twitter account and I'll pick it up there, and if we're still on air in the next 5 4 3 4 5 minutes, I'll ask your question out loud, because your signal's really breaking up. And I've got a couple of other questions here, so I'm going to invite, next up is Flexi. You have been approved if you want to unmute your microphone and ask.
Hello, am I audible enough?
Yes.
All right. Okay. My question is regarding the my question is regarding the roadmap for continuous improvement. What is the long-term roadmap for the future for data storage, and how does the upcoming launch fit into a larger strategy for continuous improvement and adaptation to evolving technological landscapes?
And are there plans for regular updates on enhancement based on user feedback and emerging technological trends? That's my question. Thank you.
So there are multiple questions in one question. This is for the improvements, as we've been discussing throughout the evening, AI will be one of the elements that we will integrate in our solution that will allow and define the node storage in regards with vulnerabilities, safeties, and security. In regards with Ledger, I'm not sure I understood your question, but Ledger do not provide a storage system. Ledger provide a cold wallet for keeping your digital assets. It's not a storage system as we know and understand it, where you can have a space to upload and download any form of data, right? So in regards with Ledger, there's been multiple articles and interview released by Venkat. I think one of them was on Bitcoin, bitcoin.com. I'll advise to read that, where he gives his full view and perspective about Ledger and how Ledger have basically approached the problem of decentralization in terms of storage. So that's pretty it. I'm not sure I recall the last part of your question, but in net essence, if it comes to future of storage, AI would be a fundamental element. And then for Ledger, please refer to several interviews from Venkat.
Sorry, I should repeat my question, because I never meant a Ledger. I meant a larger strategy for continuous improvement and adaptation to evolving technological landscape. And are there any plans for regular updates or enhancement based on user feedback and emerging technological trends? So that's my question.
Okay. So sorry, because I heard Ledger, and that's due to probably the network. So basically, the technological landscape, as I said, and as we all know it, is shifting into two very clear directions. Society digitization, and when the society being digitized, financial, health segment, education, work, professional, everything becoming digitized, the storage requirement intrinsically grow into a much bigger level. The second aspect is the security of that storage. What do you do when you have to handle a quadrillion gigabyte? Where does it go? How do you store it? Where do you store it? Who owns it? Who controls it? So the security element becomes a fundamental aspect of storage, which today you do not feel, see, or feel the necessity of it. The third aspect is, of course, the emergence of telecommunication, 5G, AI, mobile will be faster, the storage will be bigger, each mobile will have a 500 gigabyte or 1 terabyte storage space, they will communicate faster. Obviously, mobile users will become node validator. This is a subject, again, that was debated by Serenity Shield. We were invited at the G20 summit, where Venkat has given a speech about this. The future of mobile industry is becoming basically the extension of the blockchain technology. And the last element, as I said, is the AI. AI, everything will be AI generated or controlled by AI, and the storage will be no different. AI will define the parameters of safety and security where you could place your storage, own your storage, because if it's on the blockchain and if it's decentralized, there will be also an element of security based on biometric, intravein recognition, and new ways of technology that will allow to link the user to his data.
Thanks, Boris. And actually, Sophia, this is a magnificent question. And I'll wrap up here because we need to move on, maybe one more question before we finish up. But on the topic of continuous improvement plans, naturally, you know, from an operational role that I have along with others in the team, we are constantly doing this. But the very essence of this technology that we've built is a direct response to technological shift and trends changing. And even during the time of us emerging with our initial idea, we have evolved and developed that based on looking ahead, doing our market research. And of course, we do that into our plans. We have various documents that we keep note of. We do a lot of forward planning, as you can imagine. We've got feedback mechanisms in place. And also risk management is a very big part of what Venkat's been speaking about all evening. But to give you one analogy, just to finish it off on that point, Boris, you've always said yourself, from a continuous improvement point of view and being ready for the shift in markets, with Serenity Shield is why we changed direction at one point. You only have to look back a few years ago to BlackBerry, was the example you always gave. And there was a bit of a problem there where they didn't really have the continuous improvement plan. They really sort of stuck stubbornly to their idea and didn't adapt to the changes. So, Sophie, for me, that's the best question I've had, not had just tonight, but just generally for the last while, because what it shows is you're actually understanding that even in the here and now, you can have a product and you can have something that's great, but if you're not thinking ahead of time and being willing to adapt and have a sort of agile approach to development, then you can get yourself in hot water. So, great question. Right, naturally, now we're going to finish up, guys. We have got one more person on the speaker panel at the moment. It's Flexi. So please feel free. I'll give you 5 seconds if you want to unmute yourself and you can ask your question. Otherwise, we'll say goodnight at that point, but I'll hand over to you, Flexi, and see if you can get in your question. Okay, Boris, Venkat, on that note, I'm going to call it an evening. There was no response there. So in fact, we've got one other person, Saint. If you're up here, you can ask a question if you want.
Hello, am I audible?
Okay, was there a question there or is it just a baby?
Yeah, I have a question, please.
Sure, mate, go.
So what are you doing to plan to address the issue of front running and market manipulations?
I think that question's been answered at great length by Venkat. So if you want to go back and listen to the recording, you'll catch that towards the end of the AMA, because I think we've literally just answered a question on that very subject. Thanks.
Yeah, 10 minutes ago. Ten minutes ago, the question was answered by Venkat.
Okay, Flexi, you've asked again, so I'm giving you one last chance before we wrap up. So, Flexi, this is your last chance. Hello. If you want to ask the panel.
Hello, good evening. This is Flexi on the line.
Hi, Flexi.
I'm fine. Are you? Well done. You've been trying. Are you hearing me?
Yeah, hello. I can hear you. Yeah.
My question is...
Yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
My question is, you've been talking about the launching of this thing. What are your plans on... Because presently, what blockchain are you built on? Do you understand what I mean? And presently, every cryptocurrency is talking about the trend. Present trend in the crypto industry is AI now. Do you have any relationship to do with this AI, artificial intelligence? Because we've been talking about NFT before. We talk about metaverse. You know? But presently, the latest trend that all crypto is all about is AI. So do you have anything that has to do with that AI after? And kindly expatiate on your roadmap, the roadmap of this project.
I've answered that in length, but I will wrap it up for the night. You see, our project, our company is a product-first company. We understand there are trends, there are hype. What we're building is rather a robust technology which has a patent pending in the US. And of course, there is an element of adaptability. And AI is not just a hype, it's a real technology that helps in the growth and expansion of companies and technological companies. So there will be an AI element in our roadmap 2024. And as I mentioned throughout the evening, AI will help to identify safe and secure node based on criterias and parameters that will allow the user that to store their asset or digital data based on AI generated technology and not an API created by the company. So that is the answer. And of course, I would advise everyone this evening to expect our 2024 roadmap throughout December, close to probably the listing, and you guys will know what we have to unveil, what we will reveal to the market, and what partnerships we're talking about. So I hope it answers your question, and you are free to come to our Telegram channel. If you have more questions, I will gladly answer your questions. Thank you.
Thanks a million, Boris Venkat. And on that note, I'm going to close the panel for this evening. It's been very, very good. As I said, there were so many questions that were submitted ahead of time. Sophie, if you're still listening, we're going to award you with the best question of the AMA. So you can reach out by DMing the Twitter account. And we'll speak again there. So thank you for a very well-constructed question, well-considered. So, guys, turn our attention to Wednesday. There's a lot of news coming. You should be very excited. If you're not already, then ask yourself why. it's an important juncture in the project. It's something that we are extremely excited to be announcing. So around about 8 a.m. EST or 1 p.m., 2 p.m. UTC, be prepared for some news that's going to drop about Serenity Shield and our project. And as always, please join the community, Telegram, Discord, follows on Twitter, and we'll stay in touch. Any questions you do have that haven't been answered tonight, do drop into the communication. Our moderator team will definitely be there to help. I'll be there, Boris will be there. And as always, God bless, take care, and we'll speak again soon. Cheers,
good
everyone.
Night. Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments, red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics, they probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters, and then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Click the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines, they call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats tearing apart your community, all these low hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10 stargazing after the siege, commanding all
call the management to grab a few seats. And then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats. And if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.